WABC New York and 107.1 WLIR Hampton Bays.
It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports, and now.
Talking the news with Noah
on 77 WABC.
Yes, that's me, 5 o'clock. Good morning. It is Wednesday, March 6th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Clouds this morning. Going to see some more rain this afternoon. The high 52. Tonight and overnight, going to see some more showers, low 49. And then Thursday, the clouds hang around, high 52. If you're walking out the door with us right now, 45 and cloudy in New City up in Rockland County. It's 48 and cloudy in Toms River down in New Jersey. And it is 47, and we'll call it misty outside our Midtown studios. A whole lot to get to as we work our way up. 6 o'clock hour, Sid and friends in the morning. The story that people continue to ask me about is this creepy story out on Long Island. By the way, the primary's ended. The season is just not that interesting. Trump wins. Biden won almost all of them. Trump won almost all of them. We'll get into it in just a moment. But the story people are still fascinated with and trying to figure out what happened is all these body parts that were found on Long Island on Thursday last week. One arm found by a girl on her way to school. And then now apparently there was more body parts found in Bethpage. So no arrests have been made, but four people were in custody yesterday. Cops were talking to them about these severed body parts that were unearthed. Cops had raided a home on Railroad Avenue in Amityville. This was late Monday. They didn't find any human remains at this home, but they found more dismembered limbs hidden in Bethpage State Park, miles away from where the first ones were, in Babylon, in a park there. Suffolk County Police Department said they were going to release more details. They did not yesterday, but they did tell neighbors that they're not in danger and that these body parts are all part of a specific crime.
I am surprised. And I'm afraid, too.
Knowing that it was on my street, you know, makes you inquire about, like, what could be the possible motive.
Very scary. You know, I mean, I'm not afraid, but I'm afraid for the neighbors.
Yeah, so he's not afraid, but he's afraid for the neighbors. Authorities believe the newly discovered remains belong to the same two people whose body parts were uncovered in Babylon. So whoever did this, or group of people, we just don't know yet, dropped some of them off in Babylon, then dropped some of the others off in Bethpage. Cops haven't publicly identified the victims, but they say they know who they are. They are a 59-year-old woman and a 53-year-old man, both whom lived at the same address in the city of Yonkers up in Westchester County, so nowhere nearby.
There was like a crime lab truck and a whole like command center. My parents live in Babylon right by Southern Pond, so yeah, that's intense. It's a good thing that they were caught. It's kind of blowing my mind.
Yeah, police did not mention a possible motive for the killings, but NBC has been reporting that they're looking into whether the murders are linked to a possible love triangle, which would blow my mind.
Still blocked off. What's going on? The cops are still there, so I was a little scared. I didn't know what was going on. I had no clue it would have been connected to the body parts. Too close to home.
Yeah, so detectives were questioning four people who lived in this Amityville house. They didn't find any body parts there. My guess, and this is just my guess, is there's probably one person in this house who's involved in this crime. The other three, they were just checking out to see what was going on. But we still don't know that yet, and we were trying to get more information from them yesterday. They were very quiet, but they did say again, they kept reiterating that people who live in either of these neighborhoods, or all three for that matter, Bethpage, where the body parts were found, Babylon, where the body parts were found, and Amityville, where they were talking to these neighbors in this one house, that everything was okay.
I believe the crime was not done here. It was done somewhere else, and the body was just dropped in the wooded areas. I understand they found more in Bethpage also.
Yes, so there was lots of police activity outside this home in Amityville where they spoke to these people yesterday. Neighbors noticed that there was tons of activity.
This block, people just like, you see people walking their children and walking their dogs. It's like a normal Long Island block.
It started as a raid. It was a SWAT team, and the whole road was blocked off.
My neighbor was a woman, so it was probably her boyfriend arrested.
Yes, so that is the neighbor of the, so it was like a house with two sides to it, you know, like one side and the other side. So this woman lives in one side, and the other side is the house that was raided. Now, she didn't really want to talk to the reporters who showed up, but she had a thought that there was one guy there who might have carried out this crime.
My neighbor was a woman, so it was probably her boyfriend arrested.
Yeah, all right, so we're searching for more details, but now you have a little more information. Police saying they think they know who's behind this crime, and NBC reporting that they think this is part of a love triangle. And it's crazy to think that somebody would chop up someone's body parts over a love triangle, but that may be the case here if that's part of that story holds up. This is strange. Now, I know I should probably go into the election last night. It was Super Tuesday, but this headline has tempted me, so I'm going to do this story first. Police in one New Jersey town on the lookout for a guy who dunked his head into a store's open pickle barrel.
Whoever he is, the guy left a fully sour taste in the mouths of workers at Heritage's dairy store in Glassboro. That's about 20 miles south of Philadelphia. Store workers say an unknown young man walked into the store and with a splash dunked his head into the store's pickle barrel, costing the store about $52 in now spoiled pickles. Glassboro police have posted the delinquent's photo online, but won't show the store video, since they say the pickle poacher was recording himself with his phone and would probably enjoy the attention. Andrew Whitman, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
Aren't you glad I went for that story instead of going into the politics? We're going to get to it in just a moment. A lot of Donald Trump news. Actually, there was a place he lost yesterday, and there was a place where Joe Biden lost yesterday. We'll get into both those stories in just a moment. But WABC News Time 508, Donald Trump speaking out last night as the results came in from Super Tuesday.
Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this.
The former president at a watch party at Mar-a-Lago, more than a third of the total delegates for Democratic and Republican presidential candidates handed out yesterday. So far, Trump has secured victories in every single state except Vermont. Actually, Nikki Haley won in Vermont last night. For the Democrats, Joe Biden won in every single state except he lost in American Samoa to an unknown. We'll get into that in just a moment. Let's hear a little bit more from the president who was, former president, who was celebrating last night.
But we're going to win this election because we have no choice. If we lose the election, we're not going to have a country left.
Yeah, so the person that Joe Biden lost to was this 52-year-old who is from Baltimore, Maryland, an entrepreneur. I can only guess, because I was as surprised at this as you might be, that he must have spent some time in American Samoa to win the race there. I imagine as the day goes on, we'll become a whole lot more familiar with him. And then Nikki Haley, of course, winning up in Vermont. She has talked about that she was going to stay in this race. Now, she lost everywhere else on Super Tuesday.
It's not normal when Joe Biden calls his opponents fascists and Donald Trump calls his opponents vermin. None of that is normal.
She says she's staying in the race because neither of these candidates deserve to be in the White House.
You can't be like Joe Biden where you put your head in the sand, and you can't be like Donald Trump where you just walk away from everybody and think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, so there was some thought that we would hear from her today after Super Tuesday that she's dropping out. I haven't heard any word of a press conference just yet.
Do you want more of the same, or do you want something new?
So the word is, of course, she has plenty of money to keep on going if she wants to. It continues to pour into her campaign, so we'll watch that. And the list of potential vice presidential picks for President Trump's campaign apparently is growing and getting longer.
I have my list. I have some folks who I like. But I would say this in all seriousness. I think the list is actually growing and getting longer.
That's Jason Miller, a senior advisor for Trump's presidential campaign. He says they're far from making a decision, but they are looking at vice presidential candidates now that it looks like Trump is very close to securing the 1,200 or so delegates he needs to win the nomination.
As President Trump is interacting with all the folks who could be potential VP picks, there are so many impressive prospects that are out there. I think we're quite a ways away, though, from seeing anything.
And while Super Tuesday was taking place, you had Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema announcing that she's not going to run again. The independent, citing what she calls a toxic current political atmosphere, making her announcement that she's not running in a video that she posted on social media.
Because I choose civility understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will leave the Senate at the end of this year.
So Sinema won her seat in 2018 as a Democrat, but announced she was leaving the party in 2022. Trump-backed Republican Carrie Lake and a Democratic congressman are among the candidates who are vying for the seat.
We've arrived at that crossroad, and we chose anger and division. I believe in my approach, but it's not what America wants right now.
Yeah, you can't help but recognize how ugly politics have become, and for her, just too ugly, she wants out. Arizona's seat could help change the landscape of the Senate, where Democrats hold, of course, just a slim majority. Let's bring it back home. The mayor, Mayor Adams, holding his Tuesday press conference where he lets reporters actually ask him the questions. He did so yesterday, not saying a whole lot following last week's FBI raid of another top campaign aide.
I say allow the inquiry to run its course, and that's the best that I can say.
Last Thursday, FBI visited two Bronx homes of Winnie Greco. She's a former fundraiser for Mayor Adams, who is now his director of Asian affairs. Adams says he can't answer the question when asked why he thinks the feds are investigating his aides.
I can't answer that question. I'm not the reviewer. The reviewers can answer that. I follow one belief, follow the law.
Now, he had his lawyer there, or the lawyer for the city anyway, yesterday. The top lawyer for the Adams administration says there's no indication so far that the mayor is a target of any investigation. 513, let's go down to Florida, where apparently they're trying to stop spring break from happening. I guess it's been kind of a nightmare for so many cities, especially down in southern Florida, over the last decade or so. It has been tame in South Florida so far this year, but it's only in the next couple of weeks where colleges start having their spring break and tons of students start coming down. Governor Ron DeSantis says he's talking about law and order ahead of these students heading to places like Miami. He wants to make sure everybody behaves.
Florida is a very welcoming state. What we don't welcome is criminal activity. What we don't welcome is mayhem. Make no mistake about it. If you're committing crimes, causing havoc, you are going to pay the price.
You remember, though, in your college years, that's where you went to have mayhem, was Florida. DeSantis applauding these 17 local law enforcement agencies for utilizing these quick response troopers they deployed in places like Miami. The state's activated aviation drones, mobile command centers to help with traffic management, because even though they don't want these students to come, they know they still will.
This is a pivotal moment for our city, spring break. It's been a problem for the last several years. We've had shootings, and they came through. They came through, and they gave us even more than we asked. We're going to see about 45 Florida troopers out in our streets the next couple of weeks, which is amazing.
Now, here in Miami Beach, a lot of our folks will be focusing on things like traffic mitigation, crowd control. There'll be barricades. There'll be DUI checkpoints.
So what was not clear from this press conference yesterday is, do they no longer want these spring breakers? I mean, of course, Florida is known for a spring break. And up in Fort Lauderdale, they're worried there because they say now that they're cracking down on things in Miami Beach, they think the spring breakers are going to come to them. So they were holding this meeting yesterday where they're going to raise parking rates in Fort Lauderdale to $100 a day, hoping to keep away some of the kids.
And it's not to punish. It's not to be saying, hey, we don't want you here.
It sounds like it.
But it's just giving us another tool in that toolbox to deal with what could be significant numbers of folks.
Yeah, $100 a day. I think that's, you're trying to keep people away. Fort Lauderdale does ban electric scooters on the beach, booze, coolers, tents, loud music during spring break.
We don't want to look at this as something punitive in particular. We're looking at it as just letting people know also that there are options. We have mobility options. We want to be able to keep the vehicular traffic down on the barrier island because of the increase in the number of folks walking back and forth.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if that keeps away some of the students who normally go to Florida for spring break. All right, 515, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk. Happy hump day. Good morning, Justin Ellick.
Good morning, Noam Layden. That's an interesting story about spring break.
Yes. Did you ever go to Florida for spring break?
Did I ever go to Florida for spring break? No, because I was, funny you mentioned, no, I was playing baseball in college. Oh. And then, so we would, you know, be gearing up for the season in the springtime. And then my junior year, I was abroad in London, so I never did spring break.
Huh.
Yeah. How about that?
Who did you play for?
What? Are you lining me up for some some joke?
No, no, I don't remember. What school did you play for?
Ursinus College.
Oh, right.
Now you go, it sounds like Uranus. How many times have I heard that
yeah,
before?
I didn't say anything.
Like, yeah, well, yeah. I'm doing it for you. I'm doing, you know. So you don't have
where is that, Ursinus?
It's outside of Philadelphia.
Oh, okay.
I'm surprised you never heard of it.
Never heard
of
it.
With your son at Temple and everything.
No.
All right. Well, there you go.
You can get to Temple?
Can I?
No, I play baseball at Temple.
I wasn't good enough.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Dad. God damn it. Start on the floor here in the NBA, Gnome. The banged up Knicks couldn't muster up enough to prevail against the visiting Atlanta Hawks last night, losing 116-100. Dante DiVincenzo led the Knicks with 21. Bojan Bogdanovic had 19. Jalen Brunson, who suffered a left knee contusion early in Sunday's game at Cleveland, and Shake Milton, who signed with the Knicks on Tuesday, did not play. Brunson still day-to-day. The Hawks led 33-15 after the first quarter as the Knicks shot a dismal 22.2%. That's 6 of 27 from the field and 13.3%, 2 of 15 from three-point range. In Brooklyn, the Nets bounced back following Monday night's loss to beat the Philadelphia 76ers last night by a score of 112-107. Dennis Schroeder and Dorian Finney-Smith led the way for Brooklyn, scoring 20 points apiece. Lonnie Walker, the fourth, added 19 points, and Nick Claxton had 17 points and 10 rebounds for the Nets, who took advantage of a short-handed Philly team with guard Tyrese Maxey scratched early yesterday because of a concussion. The Nets were without former 76er All-Star Ben Simmons, and Cam Thomas then played the second half without starting forward Cam Johnson because of a sprained right ankle. In the NHL, the Islanders doubled up the St. Louis Blues on home ice last night, securing a 4-2 victory. Bo Horvat scored the go-ahead goal early in the third and are out to the Isles' fourth straight win. Palmieri, Jean-Gabriel Pageau, and Matthew Barzal also scored for the Islanders, who moved within 4 points to the Flyers for the third spot in the Metro Division, which would guarantee them a spot in the playoffs. In Newark, the Devils' new interim head coach Travis Green's debut was spoiled by the wagon that is the Florida Panthers, with the Devs falling 5-3 last night to Florida. Florida leads the NHL with 43 wins and 90 points. It's 25-4-2 since December 23rd. They just can't lose. Jack Hughes, Timo Meier, and Colin Miller scored for the Devils in their first game since general manager Tom Fitzgerald relieved Lindy Ruff of his coaching duties on Monday. Goaltender Akira Schmid made 26 saves. He's relieved Nico Delson of losses to Anaheim and Los Angeles last weekend. And out of the NFL offseason, what is next for Saquon Barkley and the New York Football Giants in free agency? The franchise told ESPN yesterday that they will not use the franchise tag on Barkley for a second straight year, leaving the running back free to test his value as a free agent. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
WABC News Time 520. Let's go down to Texas. Texas Governor Greg Abbott says the wildfires that have torched the panhandle, nothing short of catastrophic. He toured the area by helicopter yesterday.
What was once homes or other structures or property has been reduced to nothing more than ashes, something that can never be used again whatsoever.
Smokehouse fire, now the largest in Texas history. 70% of Hemp Hill County has burned. Dozens of families displaced. The fires have been deadly, too. The chief of the Fritch Volunteer Fire Department died while battling a structure fire. The governor put out an urgent call for hay. Cattle that survived, he says, are starving.
These families have truly lost absolutely every tangible thing of value in their lives. It makes you proud to be a Texan, to see the way that Texans handle adversity.
While we're at and in Texas, there's a rise again, southern border. 7,000 illegal immigrants being arrested a day. Texas Republican Congressman Chip Roy says the crisis at the border far from over.
Remember, 1,000 a day was what Jay Johnson under Barack Obama said was, he didn't say crisis, but was a massive problem.
Most of the illegal immigrants are released, told to report for a court day that's years down the road. At the end of the last fiscal year, more than 6 million people were on what's called the non-detained docket. Congressman Roy was told that the number will grow to 8 million by October of this year.
It's not acceptable. We've got to fight to do something about it. 7,000 a day is clearly not acceptable. Well, it tells you that the numbers are far from being dealt with. Some people had said, oh, they dropped off a little bit in January. I said, well, that's a normal drop off.
And Republicans have been focusing on the arrest of an illegal immigrant linked to a high profile murder in Georgia to underscore claims that border crossers are dangerous. But Democratic Congressman Joaquin Castro says he's found that's not true.
It is incredibly irresponsible for Donald Trump and others to lie about who Latinos are.
A new study done by a libertarian think tank called the Cato Institute found that illegal immigrants are statistically less likely to be murderers. That's based on data from the Texas Department of Public Safety.
The former president basically made up lies and conspiracies about widespread migrant crime that simply doesn't exist. They're fanning the flames of hate. It's fear-mongering, and it's putting a target on people's back.
523, let's go out to California. The Berkeley Unified School District facing a lawsuit over the alleged harassment of Jewish students. We've seen this in a bunch of schools across the nation. This lawsuit claims the district has ignored dozens of claims of harassment by Jewish students since the war in Gaza began in October of last year.
His art teacher was showing...
Now, this is a mom who says she took her son out of the school system.
His art teacher was showing anti-Semitic images in class, along with telling the children that Israel had just murdered a bunch of civilians and that they all needed to go to a walkout against genocide.
Yeah, that was enough for Ilana Perlman. She says she pulled her ninth grade son out of the Berkeley school art class. Other students say they've also walked out of the school system.
Going from being somebody who used to go to weekly Jewish events with other Jewish teens to not showing any interest. That's one of the ways that it's manifested. Other ways that it's manifested are in censoring his Jewishness from his ancestry project.
District officials say they're going to fight this lawsuit. Berkeley says that they protect all students from any type of hate. Resorts in Tahoe digging out from under snow, but most of them are starting to open with limited operations. These are ski resorts. They got so much snow they couldn't open, which is tells you how much snow they've received in Tahoe from over the weekend into Tuesday night.
Once we get the mountain dug out and the snow kind of pushed out where it needs to go, we get rid of all these big drifts. I think we'll have a great weekend coming up. But again, it is going to take us a couple days to get the whole mountain dug out.
Yeah, so the four-day storm dropped about 6 feet at the summit with a base depth of over 140 inches. I bet that's great powder for skiing, though.
To get this much snow in such a short period of time, coupled with all of that wind blowing it around, this was an unprecedented storm.
Yeah, sure was. 525, monitoring employee communications is nothing new, but the sophistication of analysis is getting an upgrade now thanks to AI, artificial intelligence.
AI is being integrated into common work-related software like Slack, Zoom, Microsoft Teams, and Meta's workplace platform. Starbucks, Chevron, Walmart, and Delta have all started using AI products designed to pick up everything from bullying and harassment to cyber attacks and insider trading. Data stays anonymous until the tech finds instances that it's been asked to highlight. Experts say that while AI tools might be new, watching, reading, and tracking employee conversations is far from novel. Aaron Real, NBC News Radio.
The federal government says the days of free COVID tests and free Paxlovid are ending.
The USPS distribution is set to end Friday, March 8th, because the virus has slowed considerably. Officials say they have delivered over 1.8 billion free COVID-19 tests to the American people, and they could return in the future if the need arises. All pandemic-era doses of Paxlovid are also scheduled to stop being dispensed by pharmacies Friday, following a decision earlier this year by the FDA. You can still get free COVID-19 tests through the National Institutes of Health program called Home Test to Treat. I'm Brooks Walker, NBC News Radio.
You know, we thought one of my kids had it recently, and we went into the closet to find a COVID test just to see, make sure. And all of them were outdated. You know, it was like, went in, okay, throw them out. America's longest running public service announcement marking a big milestone. After 80 years, Smokey Bear, or as I know him, Smokey the Bear, is kicking off his famous message in a new campaign.
But I can only teach wildfire prevention. Only you can prevent wildfires.
Yeah, Smokey the Bear, much bigger when we were kids. Actor Brian Tyree Henry is the new voice of Smokey Bear as the new campaign takes viewers on this journey through time. Experts say it's still an important message because nearly 90% of wildfires are started by humans. Let's take a look at the numbers. The opening bell rings this morning on Wall Street after stocks closed sharply lower on a tech-driven sell-off yesterday. Sharp declines in Apple, Netflix, and Microsoft weighed on the markets, with all three major averages down more than 1%. At the closing bell, the Dow lost 404 points, S&P 500 fell 52, the Nasdaq dropped 207. 168 points.
Talk Radio 77 WABC. It's the 77 WABC News Hour.
Talking the news with Noah Layden.
All the news you need to know with Joe Nolan, Traffic, Justin Ellick, Sports. And now,
Talking the News with Noah
on 77 WABC.
That is me, 532. Good morning. It is Wednesday, March 6th. Your forecast from the Ramsey Mazda Weather Center. Clouds this morning, showers this afternoon. High 52 tonight and overnight. We'll see some more showers, low 49, and then Thursday, just a cloudy day, high 52. If you're walking out the door with us right now, so happy you are. 45 cloudy in New City up in Rockland County. It's 48 and cloudy in Toms River down in New Jersey, and we'll call it 47 and misty outside our Midtown studios. We'll start this half hour up in Connecticut, where Governor Ned Lamont is urging state lawmakers to pass legislation that would limit disruptions caused by cell phones in schools. He really wants to tackle this problem in a way that other states have not.
I'm showing my age, but I do find that social media is sometimes fundamentally antisocial. And I think too much smartphone makes you stupid.
So the governor was at a middle school in Manchester yesterday where they started this pilot program this year. Students are required to leave their cell phones at home, or you can place them in these lockable pouches, those Yonder pouches. If you've gone to a concert lately, there's some artists who don't want you to have your phone and tape their whole show, so you have to put it in one of these lockable pouches. Well, that's what they're doing here at this middle school in Manchester, and apparently it's been kind of popular.
If you were to walk around the building, you would not see a phone in this place. In classrooms, not in the cafeteria, not in the hallways.
So the students would hold on to that pouch, or they do, for the entire day. At the end of the day, there's a magnet in the front of the classroom that unlocks the pouch. Connecticut Governor Lamont's bill would make the state develop a cell phone policy that would then be adopted by all local school districts across the state.
There has been some pushback from the parent community around that, and so this is a conversation, I think, that we're starting to have today.
Now, what was so fascinating about this in Connecticut, where this pilot program is taking place, the pushback on taking cell phones away from kids has been more from parents than it has been from kids.
It's important to them to have a cell phone in case of emergency.
I think it's a great idea. The kids could be less distracted and more focused in school.
It was awfully interesting to hear from the students in the school district who say they feel free of the phone. Now, this is not every kid, of course, but a lot of the kids said they liked not having to stare at their phone or be held captive by it during the course of the school day.
Time to time, we just take it out and use them out of nowhere, and we get distracted very easily. I could 100% agree with that.
Yeah, so this Senate Bill 14 in Connecticut would require school districts to outline a cell phone policy every 5 years. But for now, this proposed law, some of it would be locking up phones during the school day. It'll be interesting to see if they're able to get that passed. Let's bring it back here into the city. More violence down below on the subways. One person hospitalized after a Queens subway station attack by a man with a hammer who had been threatening customers. This took place, it was about 1 o'clock yesterday at the Grand Avenue EFR station in Elmhurst. This victim hit in the back of the head, unprovoked, with a hammer. Then a short time later, another area, another incident, unrelated. Another man said he was exiting the 86th Street station when a man using a long umbrella as a walking stick kept bumping into him and then hit him with it. And now his hand was bleeding. He was showing it to people, passengers, saying, hey, we got to find this guy. They chased after him, weren't able to get to him.
Guy, probably not very different than my old age, my own age. And I think that he obviously has anger and aggression issues. But I don't want to encounter people like that when I'm commuting home from work. I mean, taking a picture of someone who just hit your hand and caused you to bleed extensively, right, is something that I consider a reasonable response.
Yeah, this seems like a reasonable response to chase after the person, at least get a picture of them. This coming on the same day, that Mayor Adams and Governor Hochul said they were going to do more to protect riders down below.
We asked for more money. We asked for more deployment strategies and personnel.
The mayor says bag checks will soon start up again, and he wants officers moving around the system to show greater visible presence. Governor Hochul says the NYPD has already surged 1,000 additional officers into the subway.
We're going to continuously make sure we have our officers move as much as possible to show a greater visible presence to deal with how people are feeling in our subway system right now.
Yeah, and when you talk to riders, they are not feeling safe at all. And Fenny, thing. They've made plans as they wait on the platform to protect themselves because there's been so many incidents of people unprovoked, attacked, some cases pushed onto the tracks. So riders have their own way of protecting themselves.
Away from the tracks and nobody could push me or be behind me. I'm pretty much up against the beam.
Even though it's not crowded right now, I have to watch my back.
I just stand in the very middle or kind of like holding next to a trash can so that if someone's pushing me, I can be safe.
Yeah, crazy that almost every single day now, over the last couple of weeks, there's been some major incident down below. WABC News Time 539. Let's go out to Long Island. Sayville, the United Methodist Church there, getting a lot of flack after a sign went up in front of the church that says, "Heaven has strict immigration laws. Hell has open borders." And people driving by were like, "What's this sign all about?" Some offended by the sign. Others were applauding it.
I think the separation of church and state, and it really is disturbing. The church shouldn't be involved. It's like the Dark Ages. We're going back.
It's a free country, right? People they can put what they want up there. I'm not offended by it.
The pastor of the church now saying she had no idea that that sign was going up. She immediately took it down. She says the man who put it up had been putting up signs for years, and that going forward, he will not be doing any of the sign ministry, as she called it, by himself. A representative for the church says it was a mistake, and they hope that it doesn't tarnish the church's reputation in the community. Let's go up to the Hudson Valley, where they're having this issue with this crew of people breaking into pharmacies. You'll remember this was a big deal for a while here in the city. Bunch of pharmacies, private small ones, broken into on Staten Island, a number in Queens, all really for the prescription pills. In some cases, they walked away with cash. Well, now, it could be the same crew. We just don't know. There haven't been any arrests. The Beekman Pharmacy in the Hudson Valley was broken into over the weekend. Law enforcement showed up, but it was too late to grab the people behind it.
Really brazen, the way they keep going into stores everywhere.
They took, some things, and the police came. By then, they were, like, long gone.
Yeah, we've watched some of the video of some of these break-ins. They all happen when nobody's there and smashing in the front door of the window. Usually it's these small time pharmacies. Maybe they're just easier to get into. Break in through the front window, in and out within a minute or two. Masks on, so it's hard to figure out exactly who it is. And you see they grow for the prescription pills right away. Maybe they're feeding their own problems, or maybe they're selling them. They just don't know.
We've heard of burglaries like this all around the area in the past, 4 to 6 months. So it seems like it's the same, group of people that are doing it. It seems like they're pretty good at it, too, because they haven't been caught yet.
Yeah, they are pretty good at it. Officials with the Putnam County Sheriff's Office say investigators treating the break-ins among multiple counties as if they are all connected. So maybe they're connected to the ones that took place here in the city. And there have been really, not that I can remember, any arrests in the last 6 months or so. Back here in the city, the transportation department reporting that bike deaths are at a 23-year high. There were 30 bike deaths last year. 23 of those deaths were people who were on those e-bikes, and 7 were people who are on, I guess best to call them traditional bikes. Transportation Alternatives says people killed on bikes last year were killed where there were no protected bike lanes, right? I mean, there's a fair amount of bike lanes across the city, but there's a fair amount part of the city where it's not protected by bike lanes.
You have to know what you're doing when you're getting on them. I think the city is very bike unfriendly, unfortunately, where it seems like the car culture is really what's most important. And everybody's more worried about having parking as opposed to, you know, safe bike lanes.
That's a New Yorker who rides his bike to and from work every single day. The DOT says 30 miles of protected bike lanes were installed last year. The organization Transportation Alternative says the majority of people killed last year could still be alive if that infrastructure had been in place. They had been in bike lanes. A cyclist says he understands the need for more protected bike lanes across the city, but he says he also owns a car, and he says the more bike lanes, the less room there are for cars, so that's a problem too.
It's tough because I also drive in the city, so widening the lanes to me may mean that there might be more congestion on the roads.
Yeah, he's probably right about that. There are new obstruction of justice crimes added to the charges against New Jersey Senator Bob Menendez. Boy, this guy's under a cloud. He and his wife are accused of accepting gold bars, cash, luxury car in return for favors the senator carried out to assist three businessmen. And this case continues to grow, well, by the week anyway.
The Democrat was indicted on 12 new criminal charges, including conspiracy to commit bribery, fraud, extortion, and conspiracy for a public official to act as a foreign agent. Charges are related to a years-long corruption and bribery scheme involving the governments of Egypt and Qatar. They come just days after a co-defendant in the case, Jose Uribe, pleaded and agreed to cooperate with the prosecution. I'm Bob Brown for 77 WABC News.
It's hard to say. It's the same guy. I used to run into Senator Menendez at the gym all the time. Tiny little guy. And it didn't look like he worked out a whole lot, but he'd be there a lot. But anyway, wild what's going on in New Jersey, because now everybody's assuming he's not going to run again, though he has not said whether he's going to run. So there are people jumping into the race, like New Jersey First Lady Tammy Murphy, who won this vital nominating contest in Bergen County yesterday. Voters in Bergen County say they're curious to learn more about Tammy.
I would give her a chance. I would give anyone a chance.
If Tammy is going to run, let's see what she has to say. And if she has something to say that's relevant and will uplift people of Jersey, I think that she should run.
So Tammy Murphy, of course, the wife of Governor Murphy. She was a financial analyst when she met Governor Murphy, turned to a homemaker, and then, of course, First Lady. She won that convention in Bergen County. She's taking on South Jersey Congressman Andy Kim, who has already won five local county conventions. He's a seasoned politician. Tammy is married to one. So is that enough for voters to take Tammy seriously?
Raising kids doesn't mean that you lose it, so doesn't matter that she was a stay-at-home mom and she could run now.
If her policies are good and, you know, if people like her, then I'm all for it. Anybody can run for office if you meet the criteria. So I'm all for it. If she wants to do that, let her do it.
The Democratic Party is looking for a candidate to back, as it does increasingly look like Senator Menendez, who's facing that bribery trial, will decide he's had enough and not run again. 5:45, let's head over to the 77 WABC Sports Desk, where we find Justin Ellick.
Thank you, Noah Maleda. Start here on the floor in the NBA. The banged-up Knicks couldn't muster up enough to prevail against the visiting Atlanta Hawks last night, losing 116-100. Dante DiVincenzo led the Knicks with 21 points, and Bogdanovich had 19. Jalen Brunson, who suffered a left knee contusion early in Sunday's game at Cleveland, and Shake Milton, who signed with the Knicks on Tuesday yesterday, did not play. The Hawks led 33-15 after the first quarter as the Knicks shot a dismal 22.2%, 6 of 27 from the field. In Brooklyn, the Nets bounced back following Monday night's loss to beat the Philadelphia 76ers last night by a score of 112-107. Dennis Schroeder and Dorian Finney-Smith led the way for Brooklyn, scoring 20 points apiece. Lonnie Walker added 19, and Nick Claxton had 17 and 10 for the Nets, who took advantage of a shorthanded Philly team with guard Tyrese Maxey scratched early yesterday because of a concussion. The Nets were without former 76ers All-Star Ben Simmons and Cam Thomas, then played the second half without starting forward Cam Johnson because of a sprained ankle. He was hurt when he was fouled by Lowry while making a three-pointer in the first quarter. In the NHL, the Islanders doubled up the St. Louis Blues on home ice last night, securing a 4-2 victory. Bo Horvat scored the go-ahead goal early in the third period en route to the Isles' fourth straight win. The Isles moved within 4 points of the Philadelphia Flyers for the third spot in the Metropolitan Division, which would guarantee them a spot in the playoffs. In Newark, New Jersey, Devils' new interim head coach Travis Green's debut was spoiled by the wagon that is the Florida Panthers, with the Devs falling 5-3 last night. Florida leads the NHL with 43 wins and 90 points. They are 25-4-2 since December 23rd. Jack Hughes, Timo Meier, and Colin Miller scored for the Devils in their first game since general manager Tom Fitzgerald relieved Lindy Ruff of his coaching duties on Monday. And out of the NFL offseason, what is next for Saquon Barkley and the New York Football Giants in free agency? The franchise told ESPN yesterday that they will not use the franchise tag on Barkley for a second straight year, leaving the running back free to test his value as a free agent. That's your Sports Gnome, and I'm Justin Ellick on 77 WABC.
Let's catch you up on the big stories of the morning. It was a Super Tuesday for both Donald Trump and Joe Biden, winning almost every single contest that was up for grabs.
Well, thank you very much. They call it Super Tuesday for a reason. This is a big one. And they tell me, the pundits and otherwise, that there's never been one like this.
More than a third of the total delegates for the Democrat and Republican presidential candidates were up for grabs yesterday. There was one surprising moment. Vermont. Nikki Haley won the state of Vermont, beating Donald Trump there, but he won everywhere else. There was a surprise on the Democratic side as well. Joe Biden won every single Democratic contest except for American Samoa, where he lost to a no-name named Jason Palmer, this self-described entrepreneur investor who's from Baltimore, Maryland. He took the four delegates, and Joe Biden took two in American Samoa. Must have spent some time and some money in American Samoa that he was able to win there. The 52-year-old, though, is a name we didn't know until this morning. Now we know who he is. Donald Trump says this is all about marching towards the Republican presidential nomination, and then, of course, November.
But we're going to win this election because we have no choice. If we lose the election, we're not going to have a country left.
And the question has been, after all these primaries, will Nikki Haley stay on? Will she keep on, or will she drop out? Don't see any sign of a press conference, at least yet today. There was thought that after she got blown out yesterday, which she did, except for winning Vermont, that maybe she'd bow out.
It's not normal when Joe Biden calls his opponents fascists and Donald Trump calls his opponents vermin. None of that is normal.
Yeah, so over the last 2 days, she has not sounded like somebody who's going to drop out. The money's there, by the way, to continue chugging on in her campaign. She's raised a lot of cash.
You can't be like Joe Biden where you put your head in the sand, and you can't be like Donald Trump where you just walk away from everybody and think you're going to be okay.
Yeah, trying to define herself, of course, as the alternative, but you got to win primaries to become that person.
Do you want more of the same, or do you want something new?
So Donald Trump is moving on. The list of potential vice presidential picks is growing, apparently, for the former president.
I have my list. I have some folks who I like. But I would say this in all seriousness. I think the list is actually growing and getting longer.
That's Jason Miller, who's a senior advisor for Trump's presidential campaign. He says, you know, they're way far away from making a decision, but they have more people who, of course, are coming to them and tapping them on the shoulder and saying, I'd like to run with Donald Trump.
As President Trump is interacting with all the folks who could be potential VP picks, there are so many impressive prospects that are out there. I think we're quite a ways away, though, from seeing anything.
Yeah, so the primary season essentially over for the presidential candidates, but of course there's some down races. Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff going to face Republican Steve Garvey to fill a Senate seat previously held by the late Senator Dianne Feinstein. That means Democratic Representatives Katie Porter, Barbara Lee, who also ran for the seat, will be shut out of the general election. The two candidates who get the most votes in California advance to the general election, regardless of party affiliation. That's the way they run it. So you have Steve Garvey of that. That name sounds familiar. Of course, he was the standout baseball player. He'll take on Schiff, who, of course, rose to prominence as he held Donald Trump's first impeachment trial. And then you had Arizona Senator Kyrsten Sinema saying yesterday that she's not going to run again. The independent cited what she calls a toxic political atmosphere, making her announcement in a video that was posted on social media yesterday.
Because I choose civility, understanding, listening, working together to get stuff done, I will leave the Senate at the end of this year.
So she won her seat in 2018. Are you happy about that?
That means that my good friend Carrie Lake has been kicking her ass.
But it could be. Maybe she thought she couldn't win.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, we'll find out, I guess, won't we?
No. You'll never find out. But that's the answer. Carrie Lake is kicking her ass.
Very possible.
You know who loves Carrie Lake besides Sid Rosenberg?
Who's that?
One Donald Trump.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see. Of course, she's out now. She says she doesn't want to have anything to do with the political environment.
We've arrived at that crossroad, and we chose anger and division. I believe in my approach. But it's not what America wants right now.
All right, let's get off the campaign trail over to Long Island and a story that people have been awfully interested around the country. Four people in custody after those severed body parts of a man and woman were found scattered on Long Island this week. That is, authorities unearthed more remains over the weekend. Cops raided a home on Railroad Avenue in Amityville on Monday evening and then took these people into custody on Tuesday. So you'll remember those first body parts were found in a park in Babylon, and now they said they found more limbs in a park in Bethpage. Of course, this has had neighbors freaked out for, well, the whole weekend, but now police say there's nothing to worry about.
I am surprised. And I'm afraid, too.
Knowing that it was on my street, you know, makes you inquire about, like, what could be a possible motive.
Very scary. You know, I mean, I'm not afraid, but I'm afraid for the neighbors.
So authorities believe the newly discovered remains belong to the same two whose body parts were uncovered last Thursday. That was the one where the kid was on her way to school and saw a human arm on the side of the road near Southards Pond Park. That was what started this whole investigation. And cops, they won't tell us who these victims are, but they know who they are. They say the assorted limbs belong to a 59-year-old woman and a 53-year-old man, both who live in Yonkers, you know, pretty far away from Long Island. So that's part of the story anyway.
There was like a crime lab truck and a whole like command center. My parents live in Babylon right by Southards Pond. So, yeah, that's intense. It's a good thing that they were caught. It's kind of blowing my mind.
So we were chatting with police yesterday, trying to get a possible motive for the killings. They weren't ready to tell us, but sources at NBC say they're looking into whether the murders are linked to a possible love triangle, which would be crazy to think someone was chopped up over love.
Still blocked off. What's going on? The cops are still there, so I was a little scared. I didn't know what was going on. I had no clue it would have been connected to the body parts. Too close to home.
Yeah, so those are people in Amityville. None of the crimes apparently happened there. The four people taken into custody, it's not clear if all of them will be charged with anything. The thought is maybe just one person in the home is the one who carried out the crimes.
I believe the crime was not done here. It was done somewhere else, and the body was just dropped in the wooded areas. I understand they found more in Bethpage also.
Yeah, so crazy over the last 5 days.
This block, people just like, you see people walking their children and walking their dogs. It's like a normal Long Island block.
But it hasn't felt that way over the last couple of days. Police promising us they'll release more details about this as the day wears on.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.